God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks, musicians. Thanks, Elaine, for that word of encouragement. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. And it's Palm Sunday. Does everybody know Palm Sunday? And you can tell by the fact that we don't have any palms. So we wanted to get rid of that. I also want to get rid of this laptop. Auction it. So Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a foal. And he came in the manner of a king. In those days, a king would ride on a donkey, would ride side saddle and put his feet upon the foal. So he was proclaiming himself and demonstrating himself through tradition that he was a king. And the people, because they'd seen all the signs and wonders he'd done for 3.5 years, they knew that he was more than just a prophet. And they were proclaiming him as their king and crying out, Hoshianu, which simply means, Lord, save us. So for anybody to cry at Hoshianu, that cry had never been heard before. That cry had not gone out to King David or Isaiah or Elijah or Elisha or Abraham. But now it was going out to Jesus, Yeshua ben Yosef. And so this cry went forth and they were expecting the kingdom to come. They were expecting it to come there. They were expecting it to come then. And it didn't come. And it's like many things that people, when they expect something to happen, who knows, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So therefore, those followers of Jesus Christ, they were hoping for the kingdom to come. It didn't come, so their heart went sick in less than a week, and the next week they cried, crucify him. So I want you to see how quick it is and how fairly easy it is for as soon as when we expect Jesus to turn up and he doesn't turn up the way we want him to turn up, that our hearts are changed that quick and our hearts can become that sick. I want to talk this morning about the subject of praise. You saw Bill Haley. Who of you is old enough to remember Bill Haley? Who here was unfortunate enough to see him live? Really, just me and Carlos. Praise God. He has an excuse. He's from California. I have no excuse. So the reality is, he sung that old song, Rock Around the Clock, his theme tune. And it really should be the theme tune of the church. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. And that we, each and every one of us, the Bible says in Psalm 149, that we should praise him aloud on our beds. So there's no excuse from when we wake up in the morning, whether your confession is, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, morning. Whatever it is, you need to start praising God. And praise is a strange thing that God has shown us, that it's actually a natural thing that becomes spiritual. Because the Bible says that the Lord, in Psalm 113, that the Lord inhabits, no, it's not. Wherever it is, it's in the book. It says that the Lord, it's Psalm 22, if I remember now. It says, the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. The Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. And I want each and every one of us to realize that every day of the week, we have an opportunity to praise God when we don't feel like it. We have an opportunity to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desire of our heart. It's not an easy thing because each and every one of us are going through different circumstances. But I'd like to remind you that Psalm 22 is describing Jesus hanging on the cross. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And here he is in this time of agony, in this time of total distress, more distress than anybody here has ever experienced, the crucifixion of man. Not only was he being crucified, but he had been deserted by every single one of his friends except John. They'd all run away. The sheep were scattered. He was falsely accused. He was lied about. He was beaten. He was spat on. And then he was whipped mercilessly. And then he was crucified. And at that time, he cried out to God in the flesh and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he began to praise God and said that the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel. And something changed. You see, at times like that, when all of life is coming against you, when you start praising God, you bring the presence of God into the situation. I want to speak a little bit about praise this morning. Praise is one of the most essentials. It's one of the basic, most fundamental things that Christians need to learn. First thing I want to tell you this morning is this. Singing to God is not praising. Singing to God has become religious. Singing to God can just be a function. Singing to God can just be something one does on Sundays. But it isn't necessarily praising. I always like to use the English as an example. They're very good singers in the sense they're very choir orientated, very anthem orientated. And so they love to sing anthems and hymns and they like to enunciate every word oh so well. A mighty fortress is our God. But I don't know him from a loaf of bread. And so therefore, it doesn't matter how nicely they sing, that's all they're doing. Singing. Singing and praising are two different subjects. And praise is an essential. Praise is something that changes things in your life. Elaine has already said this morning that praise is an act of your will. The Bible says in each of them, I'm sure more of us know that verse, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Most people remember that scripture when they forget to give thanks after they've eaten. Thanks, Tom. The food's now in them. Never mind. So the reality is, I want you to hear that now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul is your will and your emotions and your intellect. Your will, your emotions, your intellect. None of them are under God's rule. They're under your rule. I spoke last night quite at length, but I won't so much today. I want you to understand that God is not in control of this earth. Is that a shock to you? God is not in control of this earth. He is the king. And his word, once believed and put into action, is in control in this earth. But if you don't believe his word, he is not in control. Is that okay? Can we grasp that? Let's go there just a little bit. I'm going to do a teaching on this in May about the kingdom of God. You see, God is in charge, but you're in control. So until you give him your control, you're in it, not him. I will bless the Lord. I will. I will. So therefore, we each and every one of us need to know that. We need to express that. We need to realize that if my soul is my will, my emotions, and my intellect, I need to, by choice, take my will, my emotions, and my intellect and put them under his authority and put them under his control. And don't try and convince me that God has control of all Christians. I'm a pastor. So I just want to encourage you to think about that. The greatest way for you to begin to put yourself under his control is by doing a natural thing, not a spiritual thing. And the natural thing is praise. Natural because it's an act of your will. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says that he will come and comfort those who mourn. He will give beauty for ashes. Have you remember that verse? The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I know this valley quite well. We live in not the most progressive part of the country. In fact, this part of the country is probably less progressive than most parts of anywhere else in America. I don't know if you've traveled as much as me. I've had the privilege of going to 47 different states. And in those states, many of them are a little more progressive than us folks who are upstate New York. And this valley has got a reputation for having spirits of complacency, apathy, and pessimism. Complacency, apathy, and pessimism. You don't find many people bouncing around in Hannaford's being happy. I've watched quite a few times. So the reality is there is a spirit of heaviness in the Hudson Valley. Can anybody get a witness to that? A spirit of heaviness which manifests in different ways. It manifests in fear. It manifests in depression. Now, there's the thing most Christians don't want to admit they're under. But I want to tell you, some of you are depressed. And you're depressed because this spirit, depression is a spirit, fear is a spirit, anxiety, there's a common one, is a spirit. It's a spirit that comes upon you and a spirit that begins to get you. Why? Because you're surrounded by those spirits. How many of you people go to work and when you get to work, they go, ah, what a great day it is today. No, they start complaining. Oh, thank you, Lisa. If you don't know, that was our church administrator. Raise her hand. Praise God. And so, that threw me. That's unusual. And the reality is that all of us, we go to work moaning, complaining, the water, bottle tap, whatever that stupid thing is, syndrome. Everybody creeps off to moan and complain. Everybody's moaning. You know what's the best place to witness this in public is Lowe's. When you go in Lowe's, it's amazing. It isn't the customers. The customers don't complain. The people who work there are always complaining. And I can never understand, if life is so bad where you work, what the heck are you working there for? We're not under a curse anymore. Go get a better job. This is America. We ain't bankrupt yet. Hallelujah. We're working on it, but we're not bankrupt yet. Okay, anxiety, fear, depression. Most of us suffer from one of those things, if not all three of them. And they are spirits. Do you understand that? They're spirits. And the way to be delivered from that spirit is do a natural thing, an act of your will. An act of your will. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts by praise. So therefore, if God inhabits the praises of Israel while you're being crucified, then that would be a good suggestion. Let's start praising God, and he supernaturally comes. You see, Palm Sunday is about praising God. His kingdom is coming to save us. Now, they were disappointed because the Bible says the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Therefore, they're waiting out. Jesus, now, they say in Acts chapter 1, before he ascended the mountain, now are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, you know what, guys? That was their last question. And you know what? The church has never stopped asking that question. Now? Now are you going to get me out? Now are you going to make my marriage better? Now are you going to make my kids obedient? Yeah, right, like that's going to happen this week. Now are you going to... It's right, you know, no such thing as bad kids, just bad parents. And now... And now are you going to do this? And now are you going to do that? And now... And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. It's not for you to know the times of the kingdom. So, but you be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And he left. And it said, and they returned to Jerusalem praising God. And they began to praise God because they knew that whatever he was going to promise was going to inhabit the praises of Israel. Now, I want to tell a story this morning. Go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We had so much fun in church last night, I thought, this is too much fun to have and still be saved. So the whole message was completely different, so I might encourage some of you to pick that CD up if you're going to pick one up as well this week. All of our profits from our CDs, we only charge $3 each, go to the orphan ministry. Did everybody hear that? Just to remind each of you, Jonah and Beth and three others, Roger's one of them, are in Zambia now to do some physical building in the mission center there, and also to check out the village, the orphanage, the village that we've adopted. So that's what those finances are for. So please pick up some CDs. While we're talking about finances, we had a flood again this week. It's our fourth flood in 3 years. So it seems, doesn't it, even if you buy a new building, you don't seem to be exempt from it around here. The reality is it did a lot of damage. And because it was considered a flood, we were not insured for that damage. So every single room down the bottom of the church was wrecked. So all the carpets and all kinds of stuff and books and things got destroyed. Tomorrow, we're going to have to be excavating outside that wall, dig down 10 feet and put in new pipes, etc. We're guesstimating that our loss was between $6,000 and $7,000. So we want to say that because please pray about that. We will be taking an offering at the end of the month to help defray some of those costs, unless you want to give something now, in which case see one of the ushers. But the reality is that we didn't have a good week. I didn't have a good week. Last weekend, we were woken up Friday night by the police. You're going to get flooded tonight, lad. And the flood didn't come. So, being as that one didn't work, they sent the fire department the following night at 2:30 on Sunday morning, which is generally when I like to sleep. And the fire brigade, the fire department came, lights flashing, horns blowing. How neighborly. Nice to see you. Have a cup of tea. Your name's what? Mr. Rogers? And so, you know, we had the, and the flood, we had to move all of our furniture downstairs, put it up on tables so it wouldn't get flooded. Thank God everybody was praying that our home wouldn't get flooded, and we did. But nobody was praying that the church wouldn't get flooded, and we did. So it gets old. It gets old trying to fight the water, tearing up carpets, dehumidifiers, moving. This church was a complete wreck all week long. Thank God for the people that came to help clear it up. And it still isn't cleared up. My office, I still can't get in it. But the reality is I was challenged in that time by one of the young men that came to help so much about praising God. And we did one. We had a praise break and we began to try and lift ourselves. You see, because what happens is when the spirit of heaviness is upon you, or the spirit of fear, or the spirit of anxiety, or the spirit of, you are not in a good place to fight that spirit because your spirit is down. So the best way to do it, have you ever noticed when anybody's got the molly grubs, they're doing their Eeyore thing, they can't find their tail? Have you noticed what they do? They go quiet. They go quiet. The number one thing God does not want you to do when things are going bad is go quiet. He wants you to get loud. He wants you to make noise. He wants you to lift up your voice with strength. How many times have you, I mean, I'm watching, I'm a pastor. I've been preaching now full time for 29 years and I've been watching around, and that's what people do. They go quiet when there's a problem instead of realizing that right now is a time to get loud. And I don't mean just because you've been born in Brooklyn. I'm talking about praising God. The Bible says with the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, this will bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. I want to remind you that this is a time when Jesus Christ is not in control of America. Americans are. Is anybody with me this morning? The Bible says today and calls today not the time of the kingdom of God. It calls it the time of this present evil age. You see, if you're trying to convince me that my God is in control of the fact that we now have got more people in prison than any country in the world, that our crime rate is going back up again, that our debts are so out of control that we are one of the most indebted nations in the world, that we have so many abortions, I at times have to admit I don't want to even think about it. The divorce rate is so bad inside and side, outside of the church, and you're telling me God's in control? I'm sorry, we serve different gods. My God is not in control of that. You see, my God died on a tree so that all of the wrath of God would come on him, and that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, as I have sworn never to flood the earth again, so I have sworn never to be angry at you or rebuke you. The reality is every piece of anger and wrath that God had, the righteous God, and that he wanted to pour upon man, he did not pour it down in Katrina. He did not pour it down on the World Trade Towers. He poured it down on Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, so he won't pour it down on me, and that's why I praise him. A lot of Christians don't understand the judgment of God. I got a book you got to read by Mike Petzer, but that God has judged America. God judged America 2,000 years ago. You need to know that. The details to follow. Okay, it's time to praise God. There's a story, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Does anybody remember the story? It's about a guy called Jumping Jehoshaphat. Do you know the story? I heard of him before I got saved. I'll tell you the quick version because of time. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir come up against Jerusalem. And so Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, somebody say Judah. In verse 7 he says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it and you, for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. How do we get in his presence? Praise. For your name is in the temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear us and save. Hosianu, Lord, save us. That's what the word Hosanna means. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? Do you see that? Will you not judge them? Will you not judge them? Will you not judge them? Do you know how many Christians still live under a cloud of judgment? Do you realize you got judged at Calvary and you were founded rotten, lousy, stinking, guilty? Every one of us. And then Jesus said, forgive them. I'll take it. And he who knew sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, he took all my judgment. He took all my curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. I became a son of God. I became the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I became a new creature. I became born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now, guess what? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the gospel, which is why it's called gospel good news. Because everything else is religion. Keep telling you what you got to do to please God because Jesus wasn't good enough to do it. Can God do better than that? Do you know how religion is? Religion keeps telling you what you got to do to please God. The gospel is telling you what Jesus did to please God, and now you're welcome. I like the gospel, man. But I'm preaching about praise, which is part of the gospel. Verse 13 says, now all of Judah, somebody say all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. I love it. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite in the sons of Asaph. In the midst of the assembly, he said, listen, all of you Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid. There was a spirit. of heaviness upon them. Are you okay? Nor dismayed because of this great multitude. In other words, your marriage isn't going well. Your kids aren't good. Your money's tight. Naturally, you're tight. Which is why your money's tight. But that's another story. But that was good. God cannot bless tight people. I'm just going to write that down because I want to say it again sometime. God cannot bless skinflints. Because I think he says, given it shall be given unto you. 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 Okay, but there's probably only delivered skinflints here. And he said, listen, all of Judah and you inhabitants. And you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismay because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, and they will surely come up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of your Lord who is with you. Nice. Who's with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or dismay tomorrow, but go out against them. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites, they stood up to praise the Lord before Israel with voices loud and high. I just want to tell you, praise cannot be quiet. Don't give me this, well, I'm praising the Lord on the inside. I'm English, so I do it quietly. We're reticent people. Get loud! Yeah. It's funny how we spend our lives telling our kids to shut up. Now I'm telling you to... Anyway. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went to Jehoshaphat, stood and said, hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. When he had consulted with the people and appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, this is the situation. I haven't got much time. So here we have the enemies coming against them. The enemy of debt. The enemy of sickness. The enemy of bad relationships. They're all coming up at the same time. The spirit of heaviness is coming again. The spirit of fear. The spirit of anxiety. The spirit of depression. A desire to give up. The heart's just feeling sick. And what's God saying? Get loud and start praising God. We just go quiet. And we say, oh, well, I'm a quiet Christian. Well, that's an oxymoron. Just want to let you know that when you get saved, you're no longer the quiet type. You are now a lion. And I've never seen a whispering lion. And I've been to Africa 16 times. I want to encourage you. Praise God in heaven. Okay, so here we go. The depression comes, the anxiety comes, the fear comes. Those of you like me who didn't get saved until you were late, I was 29 when I got born again, never went to church in my life. Bad memories comes. Are you listening to me? And when those bad memories comes, I starts going, praise God, thank you, Jesus. And my family has no idea what's going through my head. I might be thinking about the fact that God just spoke to me to give me $10,000. Or I might just be listening because the prince and power of the air is still trying to tell me about something I did 45 years ago. Is anybody with me this morning? It doesn't matter which way it goes. What comes out of my mouth is not agreement with the devil. It's, praise God! Ha-ha! So you're trying to come up the Valley of Ziz, are you? I got your number. I'm putting the praisers and the dancers and the singers
out before the warriors, because the battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. He is mighty to save. His arm is not shortened that he cannot reach. He is a great God. He is a deliverer. He will supply all my needs. And that's what I'm going to praise.
Can you say amen? Now that's what praise is. Praise isn't optimism. How many times you go out? I do it all the time. Morning, how you doing? How's your day? Oh, it's good so far. Well, you expecting to get better or worse? I don't let them off the hook. Oh, doing okay so. What do you mean so far? Is it going to get better or worse? Better, I hope. What do you mean hope? It's good being 6'5", mate. And the grey hair helps, I give you that. But honestly, people in their mouths, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. When is your mouth and your action going to come as one reality? We all sing songs, but don't do what we're singing. Now, you all heard me when I prayed. I did on purpose. Not as dumb as some of you look, honest. I'm standing over there praying, say, Father, your word says we're looking for men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. About 20% of the men raise their hands. And so the others either weren't listening or didn't figure, men to lift their hands without wrath. Did some of you come from churches where you weren't supposed to raise your hands or something like that? Do you know what the Hebrew word for praise is? Yada, which just means the use of the hand. Get Italian on me, for God's sake. Get Greek with me or something. I found out recently, when an Italian puts his hand in his pocket, he gets a speech impediment. It's not my joke. I told it yesterday, so it's not funny anymore. And so the reality is that, you know, yes! I mean, you ever go, remember the Super Bowl? Remember that final pass? And he caught the ball? And the ref or the zebra, whatever he's called, went, that's a touchdown. Yeah, that's 6 points there, right there. That's 6 points. Well, I happen to be sitting next to my son and opposite Patrick. If you don't know Patrick, if you don't know who Patrick is, where the heck have you been? You obviously don't live in this community. Well, how Patrick and I got out of our chairs that quick is still a mystery. That is definitely a mystery of godliness right there, Pat. How did 650 pounds go from 0 to 8 feet in the air in 2 nanoseconds? But that's what happened. Now, if we can do that over a stupid ball, why do we keep our hands down when it comes to praising God? I can't get it. Sorry, it doesn't compute. I was born in England. I'm reticent. You're Americans. What's your excuse? And the reality is when that guy caught the ball, we didn't even wait for the touch for the ref. We were up, man. We were yelling. We were high five. There was no low fives. There was none of these. Oh, give me a quiet five here for that touchdown. That's enough. Calm down. Calm down, girl. Calm down. They were high-fiving everywhere, belly bashing. Damn, that was ugly. That was ugly. But nevertheless, we live with it. Man, we are a weird church. And yet, in the midst of it all, when it comes to praising God, the Redeemer of your soul, the one who gave you eternal life, the answer to your every need. You see, when they're coming up the valley, I want you to hear this. They're all felt needs. Every one of them is a felt need. The real need is the presence of God. And where does he live? In your praises. I think that's a pretty simple answer, actually. If I'd have said that at the beginning, we could have saved half an hour. I never thought of that. Let me say it again. Your debts, your bills, your relationships, everything, the pressure, your lack of work, everything that comes against you, your self-pity, your depression, your fears, your anger, they're all felt needs. You have one answer, and I'll tell you what it is. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the need is Jesus, and he inhabits your praises. Until you become a praiser, trust me, you're out there on your own. And I want to close on one thing I said this last night. Please don't try and praise God with your wife or spouse. You can't be praising God while your arm's round your wife. Because you're half praising God and half in the flesh. Stay with me, saints. It is something that you need to abandon yourself to everything else that is around. You know, not only does it mean yada, to use a hand, halal, where we get the word hallelujah, means to praise God clamorously like, yo, God, I don't know what to do with myself. That's real praise. That's what King David did, you know. And I want to just close on that thought. But yesterday I was watching my grandson, Mr. 18 months. And he's walking around. I'll teach you not to move the mic before the preacher comes up. And so, and he was walking around. Sorry about that. Josh, will it blow up? And he's walking around, and all of a sudden he starts going like this. And he's just having a great time. I think, praise God, he don't even know God yet. And he's demonstrating what it's like to be happy. How do we demonstrate being happy? How do we demonstrate when God breaks through our spirit of heaviness? I'll tell you how we demonstrate it. We demonstrate it before he does. We demonstrate it before he does. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling lousy, then that's when you begin to praise God. And let God inhabit the praises of Israel. In heaven, it's called the sound of many waters. In heaven, everybody's shouting hallelujah. The elders, the masses, all of us. It's going to be very noisy in heaven. Can I encourage you to practice? Can I encourage you to practice when it's a time to praise God? Let's get loud. Let's all stand together. Last thing, I don't know how many of you are old enough to have heard of a man by the name of Don Gossett. Anybody heard of Don Gossett? Some few folks over there. Well, Don Gossett used to have a radio program, and he used to preach on praise all the time. And he said, we need a praise break. And a praise break is when you praise, say, praise the Lord 10 times. And the beautiful thing about it is it's very embarrassing, very uncomfortable, and very uplifting. So what we're going to do, we're not going to do it by looking at Vaughan. We're going to do it by looking at each other. So just turn around and look about. That's it. You can get in twos or threes. Look at each other now. And we are going to yell, praise the Lord 10 times and end with a hallelujah. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, just look at him again and say, I'm going to get louder than you, and I'm now going to go and have a cup of coffee and a bagel. God bless you. If you need prayer, we're here at the front. Shalom, shalom.